If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. That is Joshua, chapter 24. Before we start, though, I want to give you a word of encouragement. And noticing that we have such an opportunity to come and praise God, which is great, being together with the saints and being able to uplift His Word and being able to serve Him. And we certainly want to take advantage of those opportunities because they are beneficial to us. So there is a scripture in Psalms chapter 146, and it says this: praise the Lord. And that's in big bold letters. So you can imagine the writer saying, praise the Lord. And then he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. That is everything in my being. Everything that is about man and about woman, everything that is within us. Praise the Lord, O my soul, he says. And then he says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. And then he goes on to say, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And those are some words that I think we need to understand, is that while I am living, with everything that I have, all praises is due to God. I can do nothing without Him. From the time I wake up in the morning, He sustains my life. From the time that I lay down at night to take my rest, He sustains my life. In everything I do throughout that day, I give praises to the Lord. During this time that we have our issues in this world, it is sometimes easy to think and look and say, God, what do you see what's happening down here? Believe me, God knows. And if you think He doesn't know, then you don't know God. So in everything that happens and everything that we do, let's just praise Him. Because we know that no matter what, God is still in control. Have you found Joshua chapter 24 yet? If you have not, we're going to begin our reading there anyway. But Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse number 14. The Bible says this: now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to talk on the subject this morning: are you a servant of the Lord? Are you a servant of the Lord? When we read this account here in the book of Joshua, understand that the children of Israel had moved into the promised land which God had promised that they can possess. After they had wiped out some of the inhabitants, but now had fully obeyed the command of God of completely annihilating them, there was still some that was in the land that would become a hindrance to them, and as God would say, a thorn in their side. And Joshua, coming of age that his death was on the horizon, was gathering the people together to him to make this final proclamation to them. and to give them an understanding that they were going to have to make a decision on whom they are going to serve. There were people in the land that they had turned to and began to worship their gods, their idol gods, and had forgotten about all that God had done to them on the other side of the river and in Egypt. And now Joshua sees this situation, and he understands that the people were going to have to make a decision on whom they were going to serve. Because whichever decision they made, there were consequences to that decision. If they choose God, God's blessings will be upon them. If they choose the idols in which their inhabitants of the land were worshiping, then the curses that God said that he would give to them would come upon them. So he gathers them together here, and he says to them, you choose this day. Who are you going to serve? If you're going to serve the Lord, then serve him. Put away your sins, your idols, and the things that are crippling you at this time. He says, but if you're going to serve them, then be ready for the consequences. So he says, as for me and my house, I am going to serve the Lord. He made his decision. He knows in which path he's going. And he knows in whom his blessings dwell. I wonder if we know that today. Are we serving the idols of the world, or are we serving the Lord? Throughout the scriptures, the holy scriptures, we find that there are numerous proclamations made by God for God's people to come and follow him and to obey his commands. And as servants of the Lord, we must understand that we are blessed with his care, because he does care for us. And we are blessed with the joy of knowing what goes along with serving him. Holy people of God should strive and be willing to want to serve the Lord. Over in Psalms chapter 100. In Psalms chapter 100, David would say this. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. That's talking about us. He says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. David makes it known that we belong to God, and we should be striving and should be willing to want to serve the God who made us. But the question might be, what does it mean to be a servant of the Lord? And how do we achieve such a high honor? Because it is an honor. I know some people think the idea of serving, that means I got to be obedient to somebody. That's all right when it comes to God. Because God's blessings of what he can do for us come along with being a servant of him. So then how do we become a servant of God and receive this high honor? Because not everybody can be a servant of God. Because there are some who refuse to be a servant. The Apostle Paul, as being an example to the church, as he always was, he uses this term servant quite often when he writes his letters to the churches in which he established. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says this in verse 1. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul says, I am a bondservant. Okay? That is one that is bound by a decree. And that he is now in the service of the Lord. And that God had chosen him especially to be this high honor of an apostle in order that he might be able to preach the gospel of God, which had been promised a long time ago that was coming. So Paul looks at this as a great honor to be a bondservant to the God of heaven, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and to take on the responsibility in which was given to him in order to go and preach the gospel to the world. And not only that, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says this again, but now he adds someone else. He says in Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. And then in Titus chapter 1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of God. Notice the pattern that as he would say this to the church that he was writing to give them the understanding that this I do is not because of me, but it's because of Christ. I am his servant, and all that I do by his command, in order to teach the gospel. But look at in Titus chapter 1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle, one who was chosen of Jesus Christ. And then he says, according to the faith, not just a belief in God, but a standard that was set down by God for the teaching of those who need to come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I am an apostle of that faith, the faith of God's elect, because it's for us. What God puts down is for us. We are the elect of God, those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is for us. And he says that for the elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, in other words, everything that Paul preached must be based on the truth. He said, which accords with godliness, that is goodness, grace of God. And then in Philemon chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he changes the word here just a little bit when he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Then he says, and Timothy, our brother. Now, he uses this word prisoner here because a prisoner is one who is commanded by law. So Paul is now talking about how he is under the law of Christ as a prisoner to it. But not a prisoner that is unwilling, but someone who has given himself as a service to someone else. And then we find other inspired writers of the Bible and disciples of Christ, such as James. In James chapter 1, James says that he is a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, he would say, Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The writer Jude would say in Jude chapter 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And then in Revelations chapter 1, The Bible says here that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave him to show his servants, that's us, those who have obeyed the gospel, things which must shortly take place. And he set and signified it by his angel to his servant, which was John. And John was to give it to us, who are to be the servants of God. Now this word servant, it's a Greek word, doulos. And what this word really signifies is one who is in bondage. Now this most common use of the word, and the general use, is the word servant. Some translations of the Bible use the word slave. And it pretty much, it means the same thing. Doulos, a servant. And we see that in the spiritual sense, what it deals with is one who subjects themselves as a servant to another. You'll find this word used for deacons, doulos, okay? Because deacons are those who serve under the eldership to do the work of the Lord. So they subject themselves in order to do the work. And it's not something that they are forced to do. I'm not only talking about deacons, I'm talking about those of us who have obeyed the gospel. It's not something that we're forced to do. It's something that we should be willing to do when it comes to obeying our God. Paul uses this expression in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, right around verse number 19 and looking through verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself," look at this now, "I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more." See, Paul takes it even beyond the fact that I'm a servant of the Lord, but as a servant of the Lord, that is to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, I have to come subservient to those who I'm teaching. And that's the attitude of mind that we should have when we go out into the world to teach the world. We are to teach them as servants of the Lord, but to serve them, to give them what they need. And the world today needs more of God's word than it ever has before, because things just don't seem to be getting better. They just seem to be getting worse. And Satan likes it that way. That's why we need more people in the world that are willing to serve God, to be his bondservants, to go out and serve the world with what they need to know. We need to stop trying to allow other people to do the job that the church is supposed to do. We need to be the ones teaching people about sin and the effects of sin, and what it takes to get out of sin. That's our job. Stop depending on other people to do it for us. So we are bond servants of Christ. And so God has given him and Paul and all of us this responsibility to teach the gospel. So as we look at this, the idea of being a bondservant of the Lord is willing to give oneself in his service and do what is necessary to do to follow his will. And you know why? Because the scripture says of us that we are bought with a price. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, look at what the Bible says there. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. The Bible says, "Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, The context of this is dealing with the idea that Paul was in Ephesus getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and that he had made an occasion to come together with the elders to charge them what their job is to be, to oversee the church, because he was warning them that when he leaves, that there were many that will come and try to divide them and bring in heresies that would divide the church. So he says, it is your responsibility to oversee. He said, you shepherd the church of God. And this is the verse, which he, that is God, that is Christ, purchased with his own blood. We were purchased by the blood of Christ. He bought us. Therefore, he becomes our master. And we who have come to obey the will of Christ, we who have made that decision that we want Christ in our life, we need to know that we are his servants now. And as servants, we are to do his will. So Christ, by his death, purchased the church. That is the church of Christ. And we become his body, which is according to Ephesians chapter 1 and 22 and 23 and Romans chapter 12 and 5. We are the body of Christ. So therefore, all of us who are in the body belong to him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19 and 20, it clearly brings this out. He says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That's right. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You know, this correlates with what Paul was talking about, and I believe over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, talking about when you are married, you have a spouse, your body don't belong to you anymore. It belongs to that spouse too. Because it's a union of one together. And it's to be cherished in that way. And we shouldn't be out there trying to loan out our body to somebody else. Amen. We belong to one person now. And that's who we're dedicated to. Our body is not our own. And spiritually, when it comes to the word of God and it comes to our commitment to Christ, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Christ. And if anybody has a problem with that, then get out. Because I tell you, I would rather not be in the world. I'd rather be in the Lord, doing his will. Because the world has nothing to offer me. Oh, there might be some things that we might be able to say, oh, but there's so much pleasure out there. There's so many things that we could do. And doesn't life have this abundancy? And we want all of this. And yeah, that's all right. Until you get to the end of the story. When it's time that you are called before the judgment seat of God. And you have to give an account for all that you have done in this body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. We all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We call account of what we have done in this body, whether good or bad. So you can have the pleasures of the world now, but there's a day that you have to pay for that. See, I'd rather be a servant of the Lord. And don't get me wrong. I mean, some people think because we serve God that, you know, we got to live destitute and not have no fun. And that's not what it is to be a Christian. Christ did come to give us life and life abundantly. But we must live that life according to his will. And if we do, we can find some great things and joyous things that we could do in the Lord. Not everything is sin. But it can become sin if we make it a priority in our lives over God. And modern technology and all that comes about, sure, there are some sinful things that could be done on it, but you don't have to do it. We just have to know how to prioritize and know what to do. And the only way we're going to get there is following God's word. So Paul says, we are bought with a price. Our body is not our own. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For we are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A spirit belongs to God. And we need to act like it. We need to know that. That it is God's, we need to know how to treat it and how to do his will. So, as we look at scriptures like this, it becomes clear that when we commit ourselves to the Lord through our obedience to his word, we have committed ourselves to being his servant. And we should take on this attitude that we are now have voluntarily put ourselves in the service of the Lord. And what he says to do, we should do. Over in the book of John chapter 12, and if you take the time to look at verse number 26, John 12, 26, Jesus himself would say this, for if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Now, doesn't that make sense? I mean, it's like if you're going to serve him, you need to follow him. And it says, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. You think about the fact that he says that where I am, there my servant will also be. Can you imagine sitting down and the master comes into the house for his meal, and you're the servant that's supposed to serve him, and you're not even there. You're somewhere across town. But you're supposed to be there with the master, serving him. Could you imagine being a Christian? And there are things in the world that needs attending to. Souls are being lost. People need to hear the gospel. But you're somewhere else doing something else. Not attending to the work that needs to be done. Can you imagine coming to worship service and nobody be here? Because we have other things that are better to do. Or we think that are better to do. When we should be here worshiping him. He says, where my service, where I am, that's where my servants will be. What he says to do as his servants, we should do. And to do less would be detriment to our souls. Turn your Bibles back to our beginning verse in Joshua. I want to show you something here. Remember that Joshua had said what he said and made this proclamation to them and made them to understand certain things, and now it came down to a decision that they had to make. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, so the people answered and said, this is back at Joshua chapter 24. So the people answered and said, for be it far from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Sound like they got the message, huh? Then they said, for the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Not only did they get the message, but they understand what God had done for them. And therefore, he is worthy of their service. But then look at verse number 19. Joshua answers them and says, but Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Then he goes, he said, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done your good. Joshua knew something about these people and the fickleness of what they are. And he says to them, in your state, you can't please God. Not with the things that you're doing. And God will not forgive you for these things unless you turn. And their heart wasn't right at this time. But he goes on to say in verse number 21, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And look what Joshua says to them. So Joshua said to the people, you are witness against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. You know what Joshua was doing to them? Joshua was trying to let them know, you make sure this is what you want to do, because your attitude and the things that you have been doing don't show this. And he warns them about their inconsistencies. And then he puts it to them, okay, this is what you say. So your witness is against yourself. So if you falter and God destroys you, guess who is to blame? Not God, but them. So I say to you today, when we commit ourselves to doing the business and the work of the Lord, make sure you know what you're doing. Don't play with God. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that shall you reap. So a service of the Lord, you're either all in or you're all out. Don't play with God. When we commit ourselves to the Lord, we need to be about doing his business, working diligently for the cause of Christ and doing our best to grow the kingdom of God and saving souls. There's a scripture over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is speaking to this young preacher about him being diligent and studying God's word and how he is to conduct themselves to the children of God and how to prepare himself for the work. And around verse number 24, this is what he tells them to do. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, be patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Then in verse 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So the question now is, as each person who claims to be in Christ, are we truly serving the Lord with all our heart and all our soul? Are we truly serving him and trying to grow the kingdom as we are commanded to do in Matthew 28:19-20? Look at what it says there. Matthew 28. And beginning at verse number 19 and verse number 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's not a request. That's a command. And it is a command for those of us who have obeyed the gospel and are serious about soul saving, who are serious about serving God. Because the best service we can give to God is bringing others to Christ. But not only bringing them, the second part says, then teaching them to observe all things. We are to not just help them to know what to do to be saved, but what to do to stay saved. So it is our responsibility as servants of the Lord to teach the word of God. But we can't teach it unless we first know it. This is why Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, it is upon us to study God's word, to become a good servant. Because we will want to know, right, what the master requires of us. We're going to know it. We're not going to know it unless we are studying God's word. We need to study it so that we know what it is to be in his good graces, to stay in his good graces, and also to study it so that we are not misled by false doctrines that will lead us away from Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 14, Paul says this, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, we apply that to the teachings of the world and the denominational churches, but when Paul was writing this, he was talking about people who were in the church. And we need to know today that that can still happen. Being tossed around by just anything anybody wants to come up with that sounds good. And the most of the time it sounds good to us is because it's something we want to do anyway. So somebody comes along and tells you, yeah, that's okay, we can do that and God approves of it without giving you any scriptural basis, there we go running. Anybody can quote scripture, but can they live it? And that's what we have to understand. Now, before he says this, if you look back up in verse number 11, look how God, what he did. In verse 11 of Ephesians 4, he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Why, God, did you do this? Well, verse number 12, for the equipping of the saints, that's us, for the equipping of the saints for what? The work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. He didn't say for the equipping of some of the saints. You know, those that can just teach and, you know, they have this quality of doing it and that type of thing. But, you know, I don't have that quality, so, you know, I'm not even going to try. No. There's always a work for you in the Lord's body. Because he gave all this for the equipping of the saints. And notice the word work. I know that's a bad word for some people. Work? I don't like working. Yeah, I feel that way every time I get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work. But I do it because I got to put food on the table. I like walking in the house and turning on the lights and having, you know, electricity flowing through. But that don't come free. So work sometimes is a necessity, and we know that. But we don't think that way when it comes to the body of Christ. You mean I got to do some work? I thought salvation was free. It is, but you're not working for salvation. You're working because you have been blessed with salvation. And now we work for King Jesus. But this is why we need to study God's word, so that we know these things, that God has put all the necessary components to keep us unified in our faith, which is the next verse. He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He has put all these components together for us to give us the truth of his word. And you know, Jesus just said that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free, John chapter 8 and verse number 32. But what are we free from? Well, we're free from sin. We're free from wrath. We're free from condemnation. And we get this through his truth, because in John 17 and 17, Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So therefore, we need to study God's word. The Bible teaches us that God's word in 2 Timothy 3:16 is given to us by his inspiration. And it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction in righteousness. Now, understand this, that although we are slaves to Christ or servants to Christ, what that means is that we are free from sin. And we need to make a commitment ourselves to abstain ourselves from sin. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, and looking at verse number 11. The Bible says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. This is the attitude that we as Christians who have come and obeyed the gospel should have. We are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, Because of this fact that we are dead to sin and we are alive in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And look at verse 14. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin should not be something that dominates our life. Can a Christian sin? Yes, we can. But we know how to get up and get back by repenting of that sin. But those who have committed their lives to Christ and sin dominates their life, to the idea of repetitive doing something that you know is wrong, you better check yourself out. Examine your heart. Are you truly a servant of God? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, 13, that when we come to Christ, that he removes us out of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We're no longer one who gives in to sin, but one who fights it with every fiber of our being, understanding that we are ones who have begun to walk in a newness of life as we are servants to God. And I tell you, if we do this, if we do this, brothers and sisters, we will find ways to serve him as we live in the body. And we can become instrumental in serving him by spreading the gospel to the world. This is why David says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord is God. So it's decision time. Just as Joshua asked the children of Israel to make a choice. Will you serve the gods that were on the other side of the river and in Egypt? Or will you serve God? And he says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. What about you this morning? Are you willing to serve the Lord this morning? There's a way that is right for man to go. And God has set the path to come to him in belief in the word and the message, and that is the gospel message, that there was a Savior who died for your sins, who made the ultimate sacrifice that you might be free. Died on a Friday, rose on a Sunday, became our Lord, our Savior. Why don't you make him your master? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ, that you might be able to come in contact with the blood of Christ and be able to walk in the newness of life if you will live faithful unto death. There might be some here who have not been serving God the way that you know you should have been. Why not make that transition and come back to him today? You dedicate your life to him. Because it's not too late. It's never too late. As long as you have warm blood running through your veins, it is never too late. We have a song of invitation. If you need to come, please stand. Please come as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.